Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today the scripture readings speak to us about God's righteousness or His wrath. It's one and the same. Now when you hear God's wrath, it's not about fire, destruction, that God has fallen into some emotional snit, or God's judgment. It means none of that. Instead, it means everything to do with God's passion to set all things right. And so God's wrath in reality is good. In fact, it's very good. Now, it's clearest seen in Jesus' ministry. Notice what Jesus did throughout his entire ministry. He fed the hungry. He essentially healed the sick. He taught people that were in error in their faith or about their belief in God. And so Jesus, essentially, his whole ministry was about his wrath, his passion to set all things right, all things that have been skewed because of sin in this world. Take it to a bigger picture. God, he chooses the Israelites as his chosen people, despite the fact that the Israelites are an oppressed people. Now, God could have easily chosen some of the greatest and strongest empires in the entire world. He could have chose the Greeks, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Assyrians. These were all great empires. But he doesn't choose them. Instead, he chooses the Israelites, an oppressed small people. And it's precisely out of their suffering that is revealed God's passion to set all things right and to care for the poor. Now, I always say that there should be at least one Catholic church somewhere around the world that is named God's Wrath. Can you imagine calling that parish up and the person that's working in the office, you know, answers the phone by saying, "Hello, God's Wrath, can I help you?" Well, I think the scripture readings teach us about God's wrath, his righteousness, and how good it is. Now, turn to that first reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Now, Amos is considered a minor prophet. And essentially what that means is we don't really read from him too much throughout the liturgical year. Furthermore, Amos is probably one of the oldest of all the prophets. He lived in the 8th century BC. But nonetheless, his message for us is very important, to care for one another. Now, to back up a bit, Amos, during his time, he lived in Israel, and at that time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Now, the southern kingdom was well off. In fact, they were very well-to-do, very wealthy people. They had everything. They were in need of nothing at all. Now, that wasn't the case in the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was experiencing an economic decline. The people were going hungry. Their situation was very dire. They were living in very poor living standards. Now, with that in mind, now we can go into that first reading. It begins to make some sense. Amos says, "Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock." So here Amos is criticizing the southern kingdom. They have everything at their disposal. Food, drink, money, materialism, wealth, honor, power, they have it all. And yet, they know the situation that's going on in the north. They know how bleak it is, how poor the people in the north are, and they won't lift a finger to help them. That's why Amos is criticizing them. They're indifferent to the needs of the people in the north. They're complacent in their duty to care for them. They don't really care. Now notice, Amos continues. He says, "They are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph." So Amos is telling the people in the south, unless you help the people in the north, they're going to collapse and they're going to be invaded and overrun unless you help them. Well, Amos's prophecy comes true. The northern kingdom essentially implodes and are conquered. Now, Amos then warns the southern kingdom. He tells them, because you didn't help the northern kingdom, you're going to have the same fate. And sure enough, about a couple hundred years later, the southern kingdom falls themselves and they're invaded. And so Amos is, you know, gently reminding us, we can't be indifferent to the needs of the poor. You know, if we see people that need our care, then we have to respond to it. See, one of the things we always have to remember, we're all linked together through baptism. We all share a common baptism as Catholics, as well as subsequent sacraments. And therefore, we shouldn't be on for each other. If we know someone needs our help, we have to respond to it. A good analogy would be like the organs in our body. You know, a body is healthy because all the organs are working in harmony together. And so there's no way the lungs can say to the stomach, you know, stomach, I'm sorry that you have this illness, but you're not going to affect me. Well, wrong. Unless that stomach is cared for, well, that illness is going to spread to all the other organs of the body. And eventually, the whole body will become sick. Well, the same thing holds true for us. You know, Jesus and Amos are gently reminding us, we can't be indifferent to people that need our help. We have to see the need and then respond to it. I think a good test of our faith is precisely the way we treat those in need. Now, that's a great segue into the gospel. The gospel, the name of it is Dives and Lazarus. Dives is Latin for rich person. Now, notice how it begins. It says, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments. Well, purple was always, you know, the color of royalty or great wealth in the ancient world. So this man was dressed very well. In our day and age, he probably would be wearing an Armani suit. Now, it says he dined sumptuously each day, and lying on his door was a poor man named Lazarus. So this man is eating, you know, so much food, more than he can ever even eat by himself. He has so much, and yet he won't share it with Lazarus. Here is poor Lazarus, you know, sitting on this man's doorstep, starving to death, and this man is inside his house, you know, feeding himself with more food than he could possibly eat. He's a glutton. And yet, he won't lift a finger to help poor Lazarus. So this story is very similar to the story in the first reading. You know, Lazarus essentially is starving to death. And this rich man, he knows it. He's starving to death on his doorstep, and the rich man is indifferent to Lazarus' condition. Now notice that other detail. Dogs even used to lick his sores. Well, dogs in the ancient world were considered unclean animals. And that's a symbol of just how outcast Lazarus is and how dire his situation is. Now, hearing this, our first reaction is that it calls for a sense of justice, right? Well, it calls for God's wrath, his passion to set all things right. And we see that at the end. You know, both men die, and then both men receive God's passion to set all things right. But it's just not here where we see that. We see that throughout the entire Bible. I'll give you some examples. Matthew 9:13, where Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. My personal favorite, Matthew 25:37, where Jesus tells us that story. You know, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you sick and care for you, alone and visit you? Jesus' response, you know, when you did it to the least of these of mine, you did it to me. And so Amos and Jesus are gently reminding us, you know, when we see, you know, a need to care for people, we have to respond to it. We can't ignore it or be indifferent to it. Now, here's the good news. If you look at the history of the Catholic Church, Our Catholic Church has done a great job in serving the needs of the poor around the world. I'll give you just two examples. Mother Teresa, our own modern-day saint. Mother Teresa, she established her order, the Missionaries of Charity, to do just this, to care for the poor and the outcast and the sick and the dying and the homeless. She established her Missionaries of Charity, and she did just that. Now, it's interesting. There's a story about her. A reporter was asking her, you know, how do you keep doing this? You care for these poor people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for decades and decades. How do you keep doing it without getting burned out or frustrated or exhausted? Her response was powerful. She says, I hold that starving baby in my arms and I feed it. And, you know, I comfort the person that is dying to give them peace as they leave this world. And I care for the homeless man that is sick. And she says, I look into all of their faces and I see the face of Christ and I can't turn away. And so, essentially, what Mother Teresa was doing, she was living out Matthew 25:37. When did I see you hungry and thirsty, sick or alone? Another example, St. Vincent de Paul. In fact, we celebrated his feast day just yesterday. St. Vincent de Paul was a 17th century French priest whose mission was to serve the poor, the sick, and the orphans. Just like Mother Teresa, he dedicated his entire life to doing just that. Later on, our church created the St. Vincent de Paul Society, in which these societies, you know, in Catholic churches, continued the mission of St. Vincent. In fact, my dad was a Vincentian. He belonged to the St. Vincent de Paul parish in my home parish. Now, it's interesting. When I was a little boy, maybe 9 or 10 years old, my dad would take me to home visits, and in doing so, my eyes were opened up to the needs of the poor and how people were living in such dire consequences and situations. He would go into their homes. He would sit down with them, and he would begin to assess their needs. And then he would go back to the parish and meet with the St. Vincent de Paul Society to figure out how they can help these families. And so my eyes were not only opened up to the needs of the poor, but they were also opened up to how our church did such a great job in serving the needs of those people that were most vulnerable in our parish and in our society. I'll leave you with just one last thing. You know, the responsorial psalm for today was Psalm 146. And in it, it says, God gives food to the hungry. Well, that is very true. But God also needs our hands to distribute that food. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.